Casting continues on. With the help of your attorney, a bequest is simple to put in place. If you need help or have questions, call our development director at 713-526-4000. Again, that's 713-526-4000. Please join listeners like you in helping to ensure that the independent voice of KPFT will be preserved for generations to come. Name KPFT as a beneficiary in your will today. This is KPFT Houston.
Stay tuned for KPFT local news right after Jim Hightower.
Mothers the world over have told their children a zillion times, stop playing with your food. I now share their frustration and would like to yell at the conglomerate packagers of America's victuals, stop playing with our food. Actually, they're playing with our heads, using dishonest packaging tactics to raise their prices without us noticing it. A 16-ounce carton of something, quietly slips to 14 ounces, but does not drop in price. Then there's the dimple trick. A jar of Hellman's mayonnaise, for example, has had its contents shrunk, yet the new jar looks as big as the old one, unless you turn it on its end. There, you'll find a big indention in the bottom, a hidden way to shrink the capacity of the jar and give you less for your money. David Siegel, who writes the Hagler column in the New York Times, recently reported on his adventures in Kraft Foods land. He talked to a PR lady there about the corporation's unpublicized but rather dramatic change in its Baker's brand of cooking chocolate. Instead of an 8-ounce package selling for $3.89, suddenly a box of Baker's contained only 4 ounces of chocolate, which sells for $2.89. Wow, that's nearly a 50% price hike per ounce. What gives? Siegel asked the Kraft spokeswoman. The change was consumer-driven, she craftily replied. Our consumers have told us that they prefer this smaller size. Sure, said Siegel, but what about that slippery price? She was as slippery as the price, declaring that the product is competitively priced. That was not the question, but her whole game is to avoid giving the honest answer. We're gouging our customers. This is Jim Hightower saying, conglomerate food packagers not only feel free to dupe us consumers, but also they're considering such corporate chicanery to be a legitimate business practice.
To get more of Jim Hightower's populist take on what Wall Street and Washington are up to, visit www.hightowerlowdown.org.
Now, on KPFT Local News at 4. Taking a toll. It's the toll authority scamming you.
Collecting surplus funds in order to expand toll roads, in order to collect more funds.
You won't believe what we found in a bombshell KPFT Local News investigation. The abortion debate is on. Pro-life and pro-choice face off. Then, protecting their privacy. Hundreds of Houstonians plan to protest NSA spying. Plus, what you can expect tomorrow. KPFT Local News at 4 starts now.
And good afternoon and welcome to KPFT Local News at 4. It's July 3rd, 2013. I'm Luke Jones.
I'm Steve Jolly.
And right off the top, we've got some developing news right out of Egypt. What we're learning there, the leader has been ousted. Joining us in the studio is Jacob Santillon with more. Jacob, what exactly is going on today?
Well, good afternoon, Luke. Well, for the second time in as many years, the Egyptian military has stepped into the political fray in that country. President Mohamed Morsi has been stripped of his power by the Egyptian army, and the constitution has been suspended. This, according to a statement released by General Abdel Fattah el-Sisi, which he said earlier this afternoon, the Egyptian Chief Justice of the Constitutional Court will become the interim president in the meantime. The Constitution, again, will be dissolved and early presidential elections will be held. Sisi also called for a panel which would review any future constitutions and a national reconciliation committee which would include youth movements. The time frame of the presidential and parliamentary elections will be determined by an interim administration, such as a spokesperson told Reuters earlier. Aides to, I'm not sure if he's former President Morsi just yet, but they say he's been moved to an undisclosed location, and Morsi says that he does not recognize this, what he calls a military coup, and has called on Egyptians to stand against it. Details of the army's transitional plan published include the potential house arrest of key figures of the Muslim Brotherhood, and fireworks have been set off over Cairo's Tahrir Square and across the city in celebration.
And I know this is pretty interesting because earlier in the week, a lot of people calling for him to step down, and the Egyptian military at that point was saying they might intervene if it came to that. Well, thanks, Jacob. This is a big story, and obviously we're going to keep track of all the developments on it probably a little later in our newscast. Well, in other news, starting in September, tolls on many Houston-area toll roads will increase by as much as 25%. But are any of these tolls necessary, or is the Harris County Toll Authority simply in the business of making money? KPFT's Mike Honig did some digging and found they're making hundreds of millions of dollars more than it costs them to keep the roads up and running.
Early estimates that I've been given are that they're collecting about $500 million in tolls for fiscal year 2012, and that may be several orders of magnitude more than they actually need to run the system. So the question becomes, are they simply collecting surplus funds in order to expand toll roads, in order to collect more funds, in order to expand toll roads, which essentially would be the definition of an ongoing, profitable, and growing enterprise.
So if all that extra money's not going to repairing toll roads, where is it going?
I remember back in the 1970s when they first started proposing a toll road, and the rationalization was that with dedicated tolls, the bond interest rates would be lower, investors would have more confidence in being repaid. At the time, I believe it was 50 cents a segment. Now, I'm sure the cost of the bond interest hasn't gone up, and of course the bonds shouldn't have gone up. So if anything has gone up, it's got to be the infrastructure to support collecting the tolls.
Which brings us to an endless cycle.
Collecting surplus funds in order to expand toll roads, in order to collect more funds, in order to expand toll roads, which essentially would be the definition of an ongoing, profitable, and growing enterprise.
And again, those toll rates are set to increase by September this year.
Well, that controversial abortion bill that was favored by Governor Perry is now law. It passed the Texas House State Affairs Committee early this morning. Actually, that's not true. I said something inaccurate, didn't I? But it still has to pass the Senate. Hundreds of people were still waiting to testify when the public comment was closed so the committee could then take a vote. They voted 8-3 to pass the bill, which now, of course, goes for a vote in the full House. And if it passes the House, it just then needs to pass the Senate before it can be signed into law. The state Senate is going to be next Tuesday to consider that bill. Obviously, Luke, this is on a fast track. And joining us on the pro-choice side is V. Patel. She also works with Houston Indy Media. And on the pro-life side is Charles Lingerfeld. Now, a big issue in the debate is whether or not a fetus, at least this is one of the most emotional issues, it's a matter of fact and a matter of opinion, whether or not a fetus can feel pain at 20 weeks. What are you guys, what are you thinking about that? And Charles, if you would, why don't you go first?
Yes, I do. Based upon all the medical journals and information that I have read, both online and from periodicals that I receive through the mail.
Okay. And V, we spoke to you yesterday, and you were saying that shouldn't really be an issue at all. It's really about women's right to choose.
Exactly. It's about the woman's right to make that decision with her doctor. It doesn't have a lot to do with fetal pain. As far as I know, fetuses don't feel pain, though. But science changes every day, right?
Now, Charles, I know you're pro-life, but are there any circumstances, any at all, under which you might say, you know, abortion's okay? I mean, what if the mother's life was at stake?
Yes, there are some instances for me of one has to arrive at his own decisions or her own decisions in making that this process a part of your mentality. But in cases of rape or incest or if the mother's life is in danger, then I think in that case, if the husband and wife, if they make that decision, yes.
But if this bill passes, a lot of those women who may face these life-threatening conditions because of their pregnancy may not be able to get to a clinic in time because there won't be one open anywhere, you know, for up to, I think someone said 34 hours or 32 hours away.
Well, those are some of the questions that these members of the House are entertaining and going to have to entertain next week when they meet in session to debate and discuss and question one another. Those are possibilities, but again, you're dealing with hypotheticals, And hypotheticals do not always happen, do not always come true. But in
I don't
case,
think it's a hypothetical. There was a multiple women that testified about having to have an abortion because of life-threatening conditions.
Yes, and I'm aware of that. And I think that when you consider a 22-week-old baby, then you're looking at 5 months. Why hasn't there been a decision before now? If there's an abortion prospect that's in the framework of mentality, why hasn't that decision been made in the first 48 to 72 hours or three weeks or so? You know,
most women do not know. I'm pretty sure within the first 3 weeks if they're pregnant. I mean, some women don't get their period for like 4 months at a time. You know. So right there, and what if there's a lot of birth control pills where you get your period like 3 to 4 times a year. So if you were on that and for some reason it didn't work and you got pregnant, you wouldn't be expecting your period for another 4 months. And then you would go find out you're pregnant, and by that time you might have possibly passed that deadline to be able to even consider that choice of having an abortion.
Yeah, I've been married for 49 years. And any time that my wife has ever missed a period, she's known about it within the first 30 to 45 days. I'm just wondering why a woman can't decide before there's a hefty beat of the heart and lungs and fingernails and fingers and toes and hair and eyeballs in the socket. And all these things have appeared certainly before 20 weeks. And then
I'm sorry, there's two reasons why. First, like I said, she might not know by that time. And second of all, you know, what if they find out something about that fetus that they didn't know beforehand? And so she just didn't have that knowledge about any abnormalities. So she wouldn't even be thinking about it before that time.
Why should we, allow, so easily and so readily a physician or a clinic to violently go in and puncture the placenta and sometimes endanger the woman's health in that process, and it has even caused death in some of the woman in certain locations. There have even been tiny fingers left in the womb because the abortion process wasn't completely clean and completely done, and then infection set in and caused death for some women. So
there's only been, I think, 6 women that have died from either 2000 or 2001 up until 2011. Only 6 women have died from abortions. And I would like to know I would like to speak to a woman who's had the experience of having, let's say, fingers or whatever left inside of her, and I would like to know what she thinks about that and whether that made her regret her decision or not.
Yeah. Well, there are plenty of women around who, there were some who testified yesterday that regretted the decision very much so, in pain, mental pain. And,
but because a woman regrets a decision to have an abortion or regrets a decision to not have an abortion, I mean, that doesn't speak to the issue of choice. She still had that choice to have the abortion. So if she regrets the decision, I mean, that's very unfortunate, but that doesn't mean that other women should not be allowed that choice.
Well, I think that we should honor the choice of the women who made the decision to have the baby also. I first tell many people why I believe in life. I'm pro-life because my mother had a choice. She chose to have me as a baby many years ago, and I think that the community around her should have and did honor her because she made that choice. But here in America, it seems like in this day, we condemn so many times those who want to have babies and go through the 9-month process and give birth to the baby, but we're not we condone the snatching of the baby from the womb so easily and so readily.
All right, well, guys, we're running out of time right now. I want to give each of you a chance to just go back and summarize your main points. V, go ahead, then Charles.
Yeah, I'm not really trying to convince anyone. You know, there's already a ton of people that are pro-choice. And another thing that I kind of was confused about, I just wanted to point this out, there were so many, the pro-choice people in orange greatly outnumbered the anti-choice people in blue, yet the testimonies were, it was flipped. The majority of testimonies were anti-choice. So just want to kind of, what's up with that?
Well, I was in there until I gave my speech, and then I watched it on television until late last night after 11 p.m. Four of our people that rode with me on the bus down to Austin from Dallas gave speeches, and I was quite proud of them. The way they would alternate the speeches, one being for, another being against, one being
coalized. That's not true. They didn't do that. They didn't alternate them. I was keeping track.
I watched it all day long. Did you watch it?
They did not alternate at all.
They did alternate.
There was no alternation. It was not like that.
They did alternate. I viewed it all day long. Did you watch it all day long?
I watched it all day long. And, in fact, I was recording it so I could report on it. And I was writing down the times. And I wrote down whether it was male or female. And I wrote down whether it was for or against. And it definitely did not alternate which was against.
All right. Well, obviously, you guys are not going to agree on that. We're going to leave it there today. I want to thank you both for joining us. That's Charles Lingerfeld on the pro-life side and Dee Patel. She's a pro-choice advocate. Well, in other news today, lots of speculation about what Texas Governor Rick Perry has in store for the future.
Perry sent out an email saying that he's going to reveal exciting future plans at an event in San Antonio on Monday. He did not say what those plans are going to be, Luke, and he didn't even say exactly where this event would be taking place. A mystery, but it's going to be very exciting. Think he's going to be running for president in 2016?
Well, that's one possibility, and he hasn't yet ruled that out. It's also quite possible he might simply announce he's seeking a fourth term as governor. You know, he's Texas's longest-serving governor. He's also the nation's longest-sitting governor, so...
And we've been refreshing the governor's Twitter page all day. We couldn't find any clues as to what the big announcement is going to be. We'll be watching very closely when all this breaks on Monday.
Now, a traffic update with Doyle Odom in the KPFT Traffic Center.
Looking bad out there. If you're heading outbound on 290 Northwest, expect speeds of 20 miles an hour and less inside of Highway 6. Also, outbound traffic on 45 North is running at 25 miles an hour inside of Shepherd. 59 Southwest is less than 15 miles an hour inside the loop. There is construction at 59 Southwest northbound at 610 West Loop at Westland. Back to you.
All right, well, coming up next on KPFT Local News at 4, tomorrow is the nation's birthday, so why are people protesting? Then, also, why a lot of people aren't going to be coming to Houston on the 4th of July? That's all coming up next on KPFT Local News at 4. Alright, well, we are back. This is KPFT Local News at 4. I'm Luke Jones.
And I'm Steve Jolly, and it's 4:18. Well, a lot of folks are riled up in a lot of cities and a lot of countries about the NSA's spying program. That's, of course, after Edward Snowden revealed the agency routinely spied on the web activities of American citizens and on millions of people around the world. A group called Restore the Fourth is planning protests in a number of cities tomorrow, and Houston is on that list. The protest is going to be taking place at Discovery Green Park. That's going to be at noon. And Colin Riddle, who's organizing the event, is joining us live now. And Colin, I've got a feeling that name, Restore the Fourth, I got a feeling that's referring to the amendment and not to the holiday that's coming. Is that pretty much what you think's going on here?
It very much does refer to the Fourth Amendment, but, you know, coming up around the 4th of July was a happy coincidence for us.
I understand that more than 100 people have already RSVP'd on Facebook that they're going to be there tomorrow. Does that signal to you that this is an issue a lot of people care about, and is that your gut feel, that people here in Houston do care about this?
I don't feel it's a Houston issue. I feel it's a national and really a global issue, that we don't want to have these government agencies are spying on us without knowledge, without oversight, without or without public oversight at the very least. And absolutely, I believe that we currently have 116 people that have claimed that they're going to join us tomorrow. So that really does show that Houston is very much against this whole idea.
And I think I read somewhere you guys said you plan to go for 4 hours or longer. What's up with that? Really, 4 hours long?
4 hours long. We're going from 12 to 4, and even longer if if we're out there and we still feel like we're willing to go longer, we're willing to go longer. It really does show our dedication to this entire cause.
Can you give us some kind of a snapshot of what's going to be going on tomorrow during those 4 hours?
Well, during the day, we're going to just kind of be going around, talking to individual people, and trying to explain to them what this whole thing is, what the PRISM Act, but PRISM is, how the Patriot Act comes into all this stuff, the NSA spying, and just basically digital freedom, or privacy, I guess I should say.
Now, I mean, this is a big issue going on, and I'm sure it's probably going to come up when people pass by your protest. What are your thoughts on Edward Snowden? He's the man who released all this information, letting us know the NSA was conducting these operations. Any thoughts on that?
Well, Edward Snowden, he really did something that we need. We needed to know, the people of this nation and of the world needed to know that this entire thing was going on. So we very much believe that what he did was right.
Okay, so you guys are obviously supporting Edward Snowden. Villain for some, I guess hero for you guys. All right, so again, that's tomorrow at noon at Discovery Green Park. You say it could go 4 hours or longer. What are you encouraging guys to do if they want to come to your protest? I guess RSVP on the Facebook page, or do they need to email you?
RSVP on the Facebook page. We have a website currently. It should be hopefully in a later day. We'll be pointing towards our Facebook page, but we currently have a Facebook page. Facebook.com/Houston 4th with a 4th. We'll have the event itself posted on there, where most of the information is actually on the event page, but that'll be posted up. They can ask questions on there. They can message me privately if they need any information, and that's all the information they should really be able to get is on there. But we welcome every single person to show up. The more, the better.
Colin Riddle, thanks for joining us on KPFT Local News, and let's hope you have a good turnout tomorrow, and that a lot of people also drifting past are going to pay attention to what you've got to say. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Well, when you're thinking of places that you'd like to celebrate the 4th of July, does Houston come to mind for you? Well, apparently not, at least not for most Americans. CardHub is a credit card research company, looked at 30 major metropolitan areas of the U.S. and ranked them based on hotel prices, weather, and a number of other factors. Out of those 30 cities, Houston came in at 23, behind St. Louis, Cleveland, even Detroit. We're ahead of San Antonio, but 5 places behind Dallas. And KPFT's Jacob Santillan is joining us live in the studio. Jacob, that's kind of a surprise. I mean, this is the city of excitement. How come we rated so low in this?
Well, Steve, I'm sure it'll be a surprise to many like myself. I mean, I left the city, so I wouldn't be here. But according to CardHub, while Houston has thousands of art establishments and bars and very sundry restaurants, as well as reasonably priced hotels, it was our poor 4th of July weather forecast. I'm sure everybody remembers the 107-degree weather the other day. We also, another mark against us is our lack of walkability and bad traffic, which anybody listening to this newscast on our freeways pretty well knows. CardHub says each American will spend an average of $300 this 4th of July, but because of these reasons, Houston apparently won't be getting much of that.
Now, you've been to some of the celebrations in the 4th here in Houston, right? You've been downtown and watched what's happening?
Not in a while. I mean, I like to blow up stuff during 4th.
Luke, how about you?
Who doesn't like to blow up stuff? I'll just say, I'll maybe watch some fireworks displays and stuff. I've never really blown up anything myself.
Have you ever been to any of the official celebrations here in Houston?
Yes, I have, in fact, and I may actually turn out to this one.
Pretty good show, actually.
Yeah.
So, what are they missing? Jacob, anything else to add to that?
I'm not entirely sure, but I know that it's legal to use fireworks or set off fireworks outside the city limits, but I'm sure we'll have to get back on that.
Yeah, the Houston Fire Department would like to remind you it is illegal within the city limits, so that covers us here at KBFT Studios. We cannot set fireworks off on the roof.
Which I guess would bring us back to the original topic, which is I've got a feeling that the people at the fire department and elsewhere, police department, would like everybody to show up downtown and watch the official celebration and the official fireworks going off. Thanks very much, and thanks for joining us a lot, David. Jacob. 424, 425.
Now, a traffic update with Doyle Odom in the KPFT Traffic Center.
It's a mess out there. Construction at 59 Southwest, northbound at 610 West Loop at Westland, slowing down inbound traffic, running at 15 miles an hour. Also an accident in 610 North Loop, eastbound at TC Jester's at the North Loop, slow in both directions. I-10 is slow also inside the Beltway, running at about 30 miles an hour in both directions.
All right, well, coming up on KPFT Local News at 4, we're going to help you plan your 4th of July holiday. Plenty of fun activities around town for you to see. That's coming up next on KPFT Local News at 4. You are listening to KPFT Local News at 4. I'm Luke Jones.
I'm Steve Jolly.
And Houston's official 4th of July celebration, as we told you about earlier, Freedom Over Texas, that's taking place tomorrow from 4 p.m. to 10 p.m. out at Eleanor Tinsley Park at Buffalo Bayou, which is along Allen Parkway, just outside of downtown. If you're a native Houstonian, you probably know that pretty well. Well, right now, preparations are underway, and KPFT's own David Rizicki is live at the park right now. David, I imagine a lot is going on as they rush to have this all up and running by 4 p.m. tomorrow. What are you seeing?
Right now I'm looking at the Freedom Stage. They're working on some sound. You may hear some sound here in a minute. They were blasting some sound, so it may get loud here in a minute. But Martina McBride and Sheryl Crow are going to be playing on this stage, so that's kind of exciting.
Sounds awesome. And Freedom Stage, I just love the sound of that. That's where all the main celebrations are taking place, where you'll hear all those artists, and like you just mentioned?
Yes. Sheryl Crow, but Martina McBride. That's a pretty good concert for $8 to see those two together for that cheap price.
Now, as always, when these celebrations go on at Eleanor Tinsley Park, a couple of days in advance, you're going to see, of course, traffic being blocked off along Allen Parkway. So what are conditions out there right now for anybody who's, you know, out on the Houston roads, maybe driving down Allen Parkway? Is that possible even?
No, you can't drive down Allen Parkway unless you're one of the construction workers. There are some people coming through jogging and riding their bicycles on the outskirts of the park, so you can still come do that as part of your regular routine.
And any fireworks going off now, or will we all just have to wait till tomorrow?
You have to wait till tomorrow. It's kind of cool. They're trying out this cool zone system, like they're shooting cold air and out of these fans so people can cool themselves off when they come out tomorrow.
Okay, and I'm supposing people can find out more information online. What's that website again?
I forgot the website, actually. But
all right, we're all mistakes. It's great you can admit that. But yeah, look it up. Freedom Over Texas, that is the city's official fireworks celebration.
Steve, and we'd like to remind everybody, of course, that one of the best ways to get to that celebration is by taking public transit, if you possibly
can. You want to do that.
It is going to be crowded tomorrow, but it can sure beat the traffic you're going to run into going down. At least that way you get to leave it later and kind of enjoy with the people you're at. You don't have to be driving and driving at what's going to be a pretty warm day tomorrow, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, so that's one recommendation. Take public transit. Leave your car at home. Apart from all the construction workers, David, are you seeing anybody else out there, also like you, trying to get a preview of what's coming?
There's a few people. It's pretty cool. You can see down below, they're working on like a big sand castle for the kids to play with. And also there's like a sand volleyball court down there for the, it's going to be for the Bud Light Texas Volleyball Championship Series Finals, so that's kind of cool.
What do you know about the fireworks display that traditionally is going off along with this? You see some crews down there setting that up, and is it going to be set off very close to where the stand is?
Yeah, it should be going off about close to the stand. I think they said around like 9:35. Going to have some patriotic music and also some current contemporary music played with it, with the fireworks.
All right, well, that is... All right. Well, David, thanks for that reporting there. That's KPFT's David Rizicki standing by at Eleanor Tinsley Park near downtown, where preparations are already underway for tomorrow's Freedom Over Texas celebration.
And Luke, I can speak from experience that you don't have to be there to watch the fireworks, obviously.
No, you don't.
A lot of people standing on the roof of my condo watching these things when they go off.
Yeah, I can see it from my house. I'm just like a mile down, so like between houses. Yeah, you can see it over the trees.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
And you can maybe move down to a street that just points down that direction. Well, Houston made it onto the list of America's 20 snobbiest cities that's put out by Travel and Leisure magazine. Oomph! Based on responses to its online reader survey, in which readers ranked 35 metropolitan areas on a variety of features. Houston made it to the list at number 17 of the snobbiest pictures, with Austin close behind at number 19.
Well, that's it for KPFT.